In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Sark, Louise Reed, and Rebecca Rednick, as we get into movement, fast pace, death, and birth. Join us for What the Prophets Say. Hello, everybody, and a very robustly warm welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say. Are you laughing at my robust welcome?
Yes. Well, I'm always interested that, you know, there's a momentum that comes, Emma, with every introduction. Is you it? Up the game all the time.
Okay. Yeah, I want people to feel, you know,
you do a great job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, you are very genuinely robustly welcomed. I'm Emma Stark. You've already heard Louise Reed's voice.
I'm here.
She's here in the chair beside me. And Rebecca Rednick.
Hello.
Can we have a moan, please?
A moan?
A moan.
Okay,
My toes are numb.
Numb.
Why? Literally frostbite, nearly at frostbite levels. Frostbite.
Well, you're in sandals. It's Glasgow.
Frostbite.
I'm putting on my best Northern Irish accent. Frostbite my toes. Because it is June. We are recording this in June. Don't know when you guys will listen to it. And
it is very cold
11
outside.
11 degrees.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's June here.
Glasgow, get your act together.
I know, but you have had a couple of really nice weeks, haven't you?
But it's June. Surely we're due like another one.
Seriously. It's 32 degrees in Romania when I go back home.
No, do you know you can go off a person awful fast?
So it's funny, isn't it? These smug Romanians come along here.
I'm just getting pictures of my kids, and they're just bright red and sweating. So yeah.
And the Irish in Scotland are literally the ends of my fingers, the ends of my toes.
I'm fine, actually.
Cold hands, warm heart. Is that a thing?
I'm not warm,
what are your hands like, Louise?
Did you eat
Louise?
I had a protein shake. Is that not good?
Are your hands cold?
Are you now holding the hands? They're now holding hands.
Yours are cold.
My
hands were frozen yesterday, but they're okay today. But then I had breakfast and I've just had coffee. And I was wondering, I didn't really get any hit from the coffee. Now I know why, because it's actually cold in the room. Yeah. But it's just bringing me up to normal.
Right. I think
this is so incredibly Irish.
This
is such an Irish chat. Crack. I've learnt that word. Crack.
The crack.
Ali says that to me all the time.
Okay, just for
it's not a drug. It's a type of humour.
Ali says it to me all the time.
Crack is fun.
What's the crack, Rednick? She says that to me all the time.
Does she?
Yeah.
It's mainly an Irish thing, but
Scottish have taken it.
Do you know why I'm slightly moaning about it? Because we cannot find in our new building how to work the aircon.
Yeah. There's a few places where you get a blast of warm air.
I'm actually going to move into the
boardroom
because but there's no furniture in there, so I'm literally going to lie on the floor.
Put one of those big poof things. What are they called?
Beanbags.
Beanbags. Put a beanbag on there.
Yeah. Because
nice and warm.
It's the only place that has its own isolated heating.
Wow.
Okay.
Anyway, surely there's someone you can ask about that.
There must be somebody we can ask.
Someone knows.
Ask
somebody.
Suzanne. She knows everything.
Suzanne knows everything.
Suzanne
we're adding
to
a list of jobs to do.
Behind the glass.
Suzanne knows everything.
Don't add to Suzanne's jobs.
She's Dutch. Let's just
yes,
have a shout
but
out
I think
Dutch.
The word of the Lord will be hot.
Wow.
It'll
segue.
Have to be. It'll have to be.
Segue.
Okay.
Are you ready to prophesy?
Yeah, let's see how you manage this, Emma. Off you go.
So,
we should give our marks out of 10.
We should.
For the segue from the nonsense into the word of the Lord.
That was a solid 7.
It's a solid 7. Yeah. Okay. I do think we need to run on the spot.
That'll warm your toes up.
This is exactly it. But I actually think it's more than that.
Yeah.
This is a season of momentum.
Yeah.
Lovely.
You can feel in the spirit realm the pace of the Lord and the sense of, don't get distracted. Uh-huh. You're going to have to battle and say, all distraction be gone in Jesus' name. I pull it off my eye gates.
Mm.
I pull it off my hands.
Do it.
You know, there is an absolute warfare so that you can find the movement of the season. Now, with Ali McFarlane, our worship director here, and a couple of the times we've been together in recent, in fact, even in just the last 2 weeks, the Lord has given us a phrase, there is grace for the pace. And in all of that, in fact, we were down in London and Ali was singing that. She got faster and faster and faster and faster. And the poor drummer couldn't, there was not
really
hope, to the point where Ali went and got the drum.
Oh.
Yeah, and found two sticks behind
That's
the back
usually
of
you,
the
Louise.
Ancient... I was going to say you missed me on that day,
I know
didn't
I
you?
Did. And then Ali started drumming at fast pace and then realised that she doesn't have the arm muscles for fast pace drumming. But which is very entertaining to watch. But she was banging out this rhythm. She pulled the drum to the front of the platform and the anointing of, I mean, I'm going to even do it with my fingers, and she would go faster and faster and faster and faster. That kind of almost, you know, like the castanet playing of the Spanish dancers. The pace of it was infusing our entire beings with the ability to move into the pace of God. But I want to say to you right now, there is grace in the movement, the change and the pace. And that the Lord is saying to us now, you have got to push into my pace.
Wow.
It will not catch you up. Mm. You got to agree that you are happy to move at the pace of God.
Mm. Yeah.
Behave according to what he is saying and decree out loud, I will enable myself to receive at the pace of God, but I will push myself into the momentum of God. And that's a little bit uncomfortable when you're used to going at one pace to suddenly flick into another pace.
Yeah, it's also going to take a different mindset,
yes,
isn't it? Because I'm just aware that very often we can be very reflective or thoughtful, which is not wrong. It's good. But this is a season where it's like, you have got to almost catch up with God.
Yes.
It's like, you know, this the season has, it's like it has legs of its own.
Yeah.
And you have to run to keep
it
up.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely does. And on lots of different levels. I mean, I'm particularly aware of it in a few areas. I'm particularly aware of it in the salvation area, that every conversation you have is an open door for salvation, because we are in that season.
Well,
it's all changed.
Well, I mean, let me just tell you about last night. So, I don't know whether you heard David go out the house at about, it was after 11 o'clock last night to go to the last train back up to our local station to pick up our 17-year-old. And so I'm packing because I'm going to Switzerland later today. And in comes Samuel, 17-year-old, super late. And left the building yesterday.
Like six, was it half six, something like that?
I think maybe
it was a bit earlier.
Was
it?
So he'd been out from about five. In fact, we'd gone out before Parai yesterday with his wee pal Zach.
Oh, yeah.
And off they'd gone to do street evangelism. And he'd got this camera harnessed to his chest so that he could do it for his Samuel on the streets kind of filming for his Insta. Anyway, I'm looking at my watch. I'd done a couple of meetings, Louise, and you'd actually gone out and got some food and cooked us an omelette. But you and I were eating our omelettes at like, what time, 9:30 last night?
Oh, well, probably later. I think we finished about 10:10.
I know. So this is how our crazy days are going. And I'm thinking, where is my 17-year-old? And has he eaten anything? Anyway, he rolls in after 11. I just had the most amazing. Oh. I said, what were you doing? Well, I went to McDonald's. I'm like, oh. Honestly, it's not a food group.
Your favourite place.
I hate that.
It's not a food group.
It's not a food group. And he said, we were hungry and we just finished. And this homeless guy walked in and with his friend and sat down. We're just saying, do you have any food left? Do you have any food left? And Sam was saying, I'm sorry, I've just eaten all my fries. And Samuel enters into his gospel sharing routine. And he said, Mummy, the power of God came down. And he said to me, this man, I was a drug dealer. And then he started crying, Nadled. And he says to my child, I have never confessed that to anybody ever.
My word.
And then Samuel leads him to faith in this moment of vulnerability. And then he receives Jesus. He prays the sinner's prayer. And then Samuel says, you need the Spirit of God to replace the drugs.
Yes.
And so he prays to receive the Spirit. And seemingly nothing happens.
Yeah.
But Samuel said the guy grabbed his drugs out of his pocket in the middle of McDonald's, looked at them, and threw them across the floor. And as he threw them across the floor away from himself, Samuel said the power of the Spirit erupted and he was thrown back in his chair. And then he was crying, I've never felt love like this. What have you done to me?
Wow.
And Samuel said to me,
cry now?
I know. Samuel, and I'm like, what does a 17-year-old even know how to deal with these kind of adult things? And Samuel said to me, Mummy, it was notable that when he let go of the drugs, the fullness of God took over his life.
Talk about he the was pace.
Pace. And the guy knew that there was the guy knew he had to literally throw something. There was a movement that he had to do of moving the drugs away, though he didn't know what was then going to happen. And then Samuel's, of course, inviting him to our Friday night power encounters. And then I'm suddenly realizing, oh my goodness, I need to get postcard invites and QR codes and whatever else, you know, so these guys have a place to come. And Samuel said to me, and then I just held on to him.
Oh.
And so, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, the guy is probably armed and whatever else. And Jesus, you're going to have to protect him.
Yeah.
So then he says to me, I'm really sorry, Mummy. That's why I was home late. Well, it's hard it's hard to get cross about that, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
This is what I'm folding the tops of flying.
Well, this is the momentum we're talking
it
about.
It is the momentum.
And our listeners need to grasp the simplicity of that story.
It is,
being available and there. But what a story of an expectation and an outcome that I'm sure Samuel had never thought or imagined.
No, he just literally went in to eat some fries before he got the train home.
But there is the anointing as well on the I am available for you, God, to use me. And there is, and we love courses and we love books and we love all of, we have schools, we all have schools and we teach at them.
Yeah.
But there is a place where you can go through the learning and the learning and the learning and the never coming into a full acknowledgement of the truth and never fully stepping into what God has for you. And I think now there's really a pace on that. You know, Samuel, he's not been through years and years of Bible school. Samuel has lived a lifestyle. His family have lived a lifestyle where he's seen it and he said, yes, I want to do it as well.
He believes.
Yes, I have a call.
And he goes.
And not only that, I would say, if you would allow me to say this, that he's even going further than, you know, maybe at his age, I would have gone. I'm seeing that in my daughter in worship at 13 years old, going further than I would even go now, you know. And
it's interesting to define this momentum and this grace for the pace of what God is demanding of us, what God is requiring from us, the shifting that God is asking to do. I would want to add to the word grace for the pace. There is space for the pace.
Yes.
In other words, God needs you to create space by pushing some things out.
Wow, yeah.
You got to create a space for the pace of what God is doing.
For sure.
And to find the grace in it. I love all these rhyming words. But that sense of like, you cannot be touching some other things.
So is this an idea then, a concept of having your yes being so big to what God is doing with you that your no becomes easier to the other things?
I think that's absolutely it. Now, Samuel was, I mean, he clearly got the camera strapped to his chest. He was clearly out there with an evangelism aim, but he was learning.
He
was learning about choices that enable the fullness of God, the giving up of the whatever the drugs were. And I'm like, oh my days. And
you know, even now we're having Samuel come over to Romania because we're seeing, you know, there is something on.
Oh, he's doing a 4-session teach, isn't he?
Because,
on how to of evangelism.
And it's okay, God is using you and God is doing this and there's a pace on your life and we have something to learn, you know. It's not coming all from the sages of the of the movement who've been around for a long time.
It's funny, even whilst you were omelet cooking for us, we were on a
omeletting.
Dave and I were on a call with our leadership coaches late last night, and the whole conversation is very fresh in my mind of the sense of it's very easy to get irrelevant and to not realize that it has snuck up on you.
Gosh, it's scary.
It is. And this was on the back of a prophetic word that I had raised with them, that we're, you know, that we can not see that it's coming. And the choice of a lack of bravery to become, to move where you need to move.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about some friends we have in common who chose something lesser, still brilliant, but something lesser than the fullness of the pace, and saying no to some other things to create the space for the pace. And do you want to be having the same conversations in 3 years?
Oh, it's so sad.
Not even 10 years. Like two years. Do you want to be having the same conversations in 2 years?
I think this does show us that even though there is grace for the pace and space for the pace,
I think I think you're going to choose both.
But there is still a requirement of coming out of your own space into the new space of God. And that does take a step, and it takes courage.
Yes.
And wisdom,
Yes, and wisdom.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think a lot of us have, I'm going to even own this, that in being responsible, we have thought through a lot so that we're not caught out.
Yeah.
Not by God, but by other people. Yes. Particularly when you're in a position of leadership, you want to have that well thought through. But it is, we need now to put action on our words. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really in a season of momentum.
Yeah.
God is now saying, you've thought it through. We have worked on, you know we're in what space we're now in. Come with me. And we need to push ourselves into that. And there's a vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And look, as we all know, as we get older, you kind of think, maybe I can be a little bit more comfortable as I get older. And it's the absolute opposite.
It is.
It's staying in that place of vulnerability and risk and courage, not just for our own lives and our own call, but as an example to those around so that we do not become irrelevant. I think that must be the worst thing for an older person to hear, that they are irrelevant.
Or old wine.
Yeah.
Not inevitable. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't mean that anybody over a certain age is old wine. It does not have to be like that.
You can be young and be old wine. And be irrelevant as well.
For sure.
Yes, you can. I think all of that, it's understanding that, and we actually, we're filming this week together, a parenting at the Starks table, the prophetic parenting edition, and it talking about when do you parent your parents, and the sense that when your parents come to the stopping of their of the stewarding of their own growth, and then you end up having to step into parenting them. But I actually think that when we're talking about grace for the pace and creating space for the pace of God by dropping some things, we know that we have people around about us that used to sharpen us, but they no longer do.
Right.
Because they did not keep the pace of their own development and their own growth. And so what was life-giving and sharpening and fulfilling relationships and friendships then ceased to become that. And then you end up parenting when you should be in peer relationships. And that sense then that you got to move, you're not rude and you don't abandon friendships in their entirety, but you do make a space for the pacier friends, not because they're more like whizzy, but actually because they draw out of you what you need in a different era of a different sharpening. And you do have to create that. And I think that is, there's grace to move at that pace with a different people group on occasions, or to open your house to those people, or even to move cities and to even go into these bilocated geographies where I'm there and I'm there, because actually you need the anointings of different cities and you need the weight of different places and different cities and what they do to your personality to draw out different things. And so when we talk about grace for the pace or space for the pace, there's a lot of movement implied quite personally in where you're connecting and where you're living and how you're spending your time and who you're spending your time with. Because actually we are pushing right now into places of sharpness, of being refined by God and by each other. And to be aware that there is a work required, a work to become. And we don't want to let a lack of bravery accidentally enable our irrelevance.
Our irrelevance, I think, is like a bluntness.
Yes.
We just become blunt and we lose our edge. And I think it's a really good question to ask, like, Lord, have I lost my edge? And if I have, where have I lost my edge? Yes. And what can I do to get that sharpness back?
Yes.
And sometimes it really is about who you hang out with, mm-hmm. And helping one another to stay sharp, because that's the season that we're in. And I'm not talking about like dumping your old friends. I'm not talking about that, because you can then become sharpening to them.
Yeah.
But even the conversations that we have with one another, you know, sharpen me, you know, help me here. What do you see? You know, what do you notice? What do you think God's saying? Et cetera, et cetera. So that we are catapulting and helping sharpen one another so that we're on edge. And we're edgy people. And when edgy that people. We can be in the momentum of God and in the new spaces that he is creating.
But they say that, don't they? If you're the most intelligent person in the room, then you're in the wrong room. You always need to be.
That is exactly it. Yeah. It is.
And it could be anything. It could be intelligence. It could be anointing. It could be anything.
If you're the most dynamic person in the room, if you're the most senior person in every room you walk into, change your room.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by all means, go into those other rooms, but you need the other rooms too.
Yes. Yeah. I do think there. It's noteworthy that different geographies are for different things.
Oh, for sure.
And very much if we are then in, I mean, Louise, you and I have, we teach it endlessly to the Raising Prophets program, particularly in year one when we're talking about the role of nations and how we think about prophesying over nations and national boundaries and territory and space. And of course, it says there that from one man, Jesus, God brought many nations and set their boundaries and their appointed times. In other words, when they rise and when they fall, why are the nations created? The verse goes on to tell you that they may find Christ. And the whole thrust of God putting different elements of his nature into different land masses so that people find different parts of God in different nations. Very, very clear in Acts 17 that when we go to the nations, we learn the different parts of who God is. And so therefore, you've actually got to know what your geography reflects of God so that you find the nature of who God is in your area. And then actually, you know, there are seasons I need to be in different geographies. You literally need to know that, because I will find a different anointing in a different part of the nature of God that I will need to learn about in that particular time.
Yeah, and don't assume that it'll be feel glorious
and
feel wonderful. It could well feel awkward and alien.
And that's not necessarily you must move house.
No.
But it is very much you must visit or you must go on an annual leave or a vacation or a field trip or a mission trip or you got to understand what's in those places and learn and the freedom for that. It's why some people get this, I must go to fill in the blank wherever it is.
Glasgow.
Everyone's coming to Glasgow.
Glasgow is a place of revelation. It's also quite a safe place.
Strangely. And there's also a kind of strangeness about the fact that it's not hidden, because it is obviously a big city.
It was the second city of the British Empire.
It was. But there's also something about it where I think God has secrets in this city.
If you're describing Glasgow spiritually, it is almost like sitting on a big cushion. It is pillowy in the sense that it's safe. It's a cocooning place. But it is deeply revelatory, mystery, secrets of God. You come here to hear God and to be safe in your hearing of God.
I think also there's something about Glasgow that has a humility about it.
Oh, it's very rough and ready. Yes.
Which
it's not a pretentious city.
Is exactly. Which is like it's perfectly set up for the glory of God.
Yeah. It's a bit the most unexpected places.
Grubby, isn't it? It's a bit grubby. A bit unkempt.
But it's kind of just, it's a friendly grubby.
It's a friendly city. It's a safe
very and friendly city.
Very safe.
A friendly grubby city.
It is. It's a friendly city. But
it's
what
very real.
It is very friendly.
It is gutsy real.
Authentic.
But that actually produces a safety, But it also, for reasons that only God knows, it produces a deep ability to see and hear in the spirit.
It also produces truth. So because of the authenticity.
It's where prophets can come.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah, you got to know where you need to be. Mm.
True.
I'm personally, I don't know whether we'll cut this bit off the end, personally fascinated by Rome. False government.
Mm-hmm.
False spiritual government.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Some of it good, some of it nonsense. But that is the same with every organization that grows into its second, third generation, to the point where I would say, oh, now we're going to be sharp. Any Christian organization by generation two or three should be shut. They get more demonic over time.
Oh, absolutely, and then can turn into a monster.
They do. Because when you are away from that dynamism and clear purity of a founder.
Founder, yeah.
Every organization does it. Every organization.
It dilutes.
It dilutes. It gets more complicated and it gets more demonic ideology and structure in it.
And that's a whole other subject in terms of legacy, inheritance. It
is. You are talking about the pace of God, and part of the pace of God is who does he want his people to be in this moment?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And that is a dynamic, organic thing of change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once you get any organization, be it business or be it church structures, over time they are less yielding, yes, less malleable, less godly, less able to pivot.
And maybe even irrelevant.
And demonic.
Mm-hmm. So God save us from irrelevance.
Yes.
By keeping us in your pace.
Yes.
Because there's grace.
And in this new space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
He's always doing something new.
This is it.
He is, yeah. Yeah, and we have to keep up with the dynamism.
Yes.
Dynamism.
Anyway. He is so much fresher than we ever could be. And these are, I know in a previous chat we were talking about Jonah, about clinging to worthless idols, our structures very often, mm-hmm. and what other people have planted and built can then become an idol that we try to keep going.
Yeah.
Rather than seeing the new things of God, the pace of God, and the grace that is available for the pace of the new thing that he is doing, and new things in every generation and every season.
And actually, maybe what leaders need to learn is how to navigate good deaths.
Good deaths.
But look, that's something that we don't teach a lot about.
It's not.
Well, the Holy Spirit is always in movement. The Holy Spirit is never just sitting, waiting. The Holy Spirit, we need to get the Holy Spirit's doing.
Maybe the best thing you can do is go into a grace for the pace of a good death so that you have space for the pace of the new birth. I don't know that I could repeat that.
No. Space for the pace and grace
for the new birth,
for the pace of death. Grace. I mean, all I can think of is the momentum of death, like rolling into my grave.
Rolling
down the river.
I don't even know who sings that, or if it's appropriate lyrics.
Probably not. I know.
Okay, great. Let's do that one more time and then we're going to say goodbye. Grace for the pace of a good death. That creates space for the pace of a good birth.
Yeah, come on.
Ooh.
Amen.
Should we say that? So at the end of that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. We will see you very soon. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app. And we have there exclusively podcast PAR resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the PAR TV app.